for many reasons, one of which is we get to have our people come back home. It's good to have Natalie back with us serving the Lord in the Washington, D.C. area there. And others of you that are home for the holidays, we're glad to have you back home. Appreciate you. This is your church family, and we love you. Children, sixth grade and under, you can slip out. You have your time to prepare for the Christmas program. And let's take our Bibles. Go with me to Ephesians 4, and I'll introduce the scripture reading and the speaker of the morning. We're so thankful for this day. This is a significant day in the life of Wheelersburg Baptist Church as we have a candidate for the position of associate pastor that will be speaking to us this morning. We know and love Matt and Bethany Wilson, and as we've been announcing the last couple of Sundays, today Matt is candidating for this position. He'll be preaching this morning from the Word of God, and then this evening, as a part of the annual business meeting, we'll have a time for Q&A with Matt about the position of associate pastor. You want to be back with us for that. The ministry description, as I had announced last week, has been posted on the bulletin board. There are also some copies of that if you'd like to take one and look over it. They're on the table in the foyer. But this is a wonderful, wonderful day for us as a church. I think about in the book of Acts when Paul is speaking to the Ephesian elders in chapter 20, and he's talking about how he uses the phrase that over which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. When a church considers a pastor, to call a pastor, there's obviously the horizontal going on. We're thinking, we're seeking God's will, we're asking questions, we're listening as he preaches and so forth. But the sovereign Holy Spirit is actually the one that places shepherds in congregations. And we're excited about this opportunity to consider Matt as an associate pastor at Wheelersburg Baptist. I'd like to read from Ephesians 4, beginning in verse 1 through verse 10. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. May God bless the reading of his word. And come, brother, we look forward to hearing the message the Lord has given to you.
Good morning. I resonate with my pastor growing up. My voice is, we're hoping it holds out this morning. He always wrestled with and made comments about the fact that he knew for his voice's sake he should not sing from an earthly perspective, but when you hear the truth sung and the Lord is in your heart, it's hard not to sing. And so I wrestled with that. Pastor was probably listening to me sing, wondering why you're singing, and you got to get through a sermon here, but I enjoy that. I enjoy the worship that we're able to do together. And so we'll pray together that my voice holds out, and that it'll hold out long enough for us to be able to hear what the Lord has planned for us this morning. I want to start off with saying thank you. Seems appropriate after Thanksgiving, maybe even cliche, but it's true. I never take for granted the opportunity I have to be able to stand before you and to present God's Word. It's truly an honor and it's a privilege, and I enjoy every part of it. But this one in particular, it's a little bit different feel. This is a sermon where I'm candidating. I'm coming before you as being able to share my heart and to be able to share what the Lord has placed on my heart in order to become one of your shepherds. That's not a position to be taken lightly. And so working through this message was a little bit more difficult than normal. There's a couple of reasons for that, and in preaching classes they tell you to not show the pots and pans, just give the meal. I'm going to give you a little insight of my thought here, show you a little bit of the pots and pans, because this became something that a little bit of a process that was helpful. Normally when someone comes to candidate, they've only been to church a handful of times. They're just learning about the people and the culture. And the preaching time is to see how the person handles God's word and get a glimpse of that candidate's heart. This situation is a little bit different for obvious reasons. I've been a part of this church family for 13 years now, almost 13 years now. In many ways, I've grown up in ministry here. I've served in a couple different leadership roles. We've laughed together, we've cried together, we've rejoiced in the Lord's blessings and bore one another's burdens. We've done life together. You don't need to get a glimpse into my heart or see who I am because you've seen it on display the last 13 years. And then there's the decision on what to preach. A lot of candidates, they'll talk about going to your go-to sermon to be able to preach the best message that you can. You guys have heard me preach several times. You know that aspect of it. Then Pastor Brad, I asked him, what should I preach on? He said, just share your heart. That's a loaded question. That's a loaded statement. My heart about what? About me pastoring here? About my heart for WBC and where we are and where we could be going? Both? How do I say all that in a 35-minute sermon? How do I say something you don't already know through conversations that we've had? I've just gone through the ordination process. You guys have heard my heart through that process. How do I find a passage that captures this completely? It was a good process to go through, to help me think through systematically all these thoughts swirling in your head and how to get them down and condense down to be able to understand those. So here's my attempt this morning. I'm going to talk to you as my heart as a pastor. There's one particular passage that resonates with me when I think about the role of a pastor and what I am excited about when it comes to pastoring. And then I'm going to share some thoughts about where we are here at WBC and how I can fit into those and how I feel the Lord is leading to be able to continue to allow the body to grow for His honor and glory. And then as Pastor mentioned, tonight, we'll be having a question and answer time. And I look forward to hearing your questions to be able to think more clearly about this position and specifically about this position. But to get started, there's many different passages we could go to, and I looked at all of these. There's the classics such as Acts 20:28. It says, pay careful attention to yourselves and all of the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he has obtained with his own blood. When you're an overseer, when you're a shepherd, you're not just shepherding a flock of people who come, you're shepherding a group of people who have been bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. That's a heavy burden. 1 Peter 5:1-4 says, so I exhort the elders among you and the fellow elders and witnesses in the suffering of Christ, as well as the partakers of the glory as revealed, shepherd the flock of God. Exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly. And goes on and says, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive unfolding crown of glory. The weight of the reality is that I'm not a shepherd shepherding my flock. I'm shepherding the flock of Christ. And I'm here as a representative of him. 2 Timothy 4:2 says, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. It's not always an easy thing to do. It sounds easy. But as persecution comes up, as you know, this will step on people's toes. As you know, people will not respond, will most likely not respond well to that. We as shepherds need to preach the word faithfully, regardless of the consequences that may come of it. Colossians 1:28. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone mature in Christ. And then 2 Timothy 2:2, we all know this one very well. It says, You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. The discipleship process. This isn't just a shepherding time. A shepherd doesn't just pay attention to his own flock and what's going on in his own time. He's thinking about the future, seeing who will be able to come in and shepherd when he is called away or as the flock grows. Those are all important passages. However, there's one in particular that I want to spend a little bit more time thinking about, and that is Ephesians 4, 1 to 13. Pastor read the first half of this passage, this chapter in the scripture reading, and then I will pick it up on verse 11. We're going to go through verse 13, 11, through the rest of that section there. It would be verse 16 is one long sentence in the Greek as Paul was writing this. And so we're going to look at the first half of this sentence, and then maybe one day in the future I'll be able to come back to the second half of this sentence. But it says, starting in verse 11, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of our Son, and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. In the book of Ephesians, Paul starts off with the first three chapters telling us about the greatness of the salvation that we have before us. He talks about how the Lord orchestrated this salvation. He has granted it to us by grace, and how it is there for us. And when we partake into that, chapter 4, he wants to switch for the rest of the book to talk about how does that affect your everyday life. Salvation is not just there for fire insurance to be able to get us out of hell, but to be able to affect our lives. And he starts off with one of the most important areas that that can be talked about, the body of Christ. How does the salvation that we have obtained through Christ affect the body of Christ? And he's paying careful attention to certain things such as unity. He knows that we're going to have a bunch of sinners coming together and having their own ideas, their own thoughts. They're very passionate about the body of Christ, but he wants unity when it comes together. This is the bride of Christ. He starts off by teaching us, reminding us of some of the fruit of the Spirit. Did you hear it when Pastor read? He talked about patience, peace, love. Talked about grace. All of these essential things that we need in order to be able to serve the body of Christ, but also to be able to live within unity. And then he transitions and he talks about how he has gifted some of the body to help provide some leadership, care, and instruction for the church. He lists four different giftings here. First one, apostle. Apostle, it's a term specifically used for those who are called directly by Christ. And you have the 12 apostles and Paul, and they were chosen to lay the foundation of the church. And then prophets, these were people who were gifted to declare truth and to help the apostles in the starting of the local church at the local level. Apostles, we definitely don't have them around anymore. That gifting is not there. Some would argue about the prophets, but it seems to be that the church relies on these next two offices more. The next one being evangelist. Those who have the gift of declaring the gospel. Billy Graham is one of the more well-known evangelists. You've seen several throughout church history that travel around, they preach the gospel and see mass number of people, the Lord using them to be able to bring people to themselves. Many of them, although not all of them, did not pastor a local body of Christ, though. And so what do you do after that salvation? It's good to be able to bring the truth of the gospel to them, and many are saved through that, but what happens next? And that's when Paul gets into that last gifting there, the shepherd and teacher. Did you notice this title? When you read this very quick, it could look like five different ones. You have a shepherd and a teacher, but this is actually two terms linked together, holding and describing this position. Oftentimes, the person with this gifting will hold the position of overseer, elder, pastor. All these are the same position in the church. I love that these two roles are put together and explained together. Think about the position of shepherd, the shepherd side of it. Think about the shepherd out in the sheep in this time. It's not a glamorous job. In fact, they were the lowlifes of the community. Oftentimes, they didn't even own the sheep. They were just there trying to tend to them, faithfully serving their master. They would care for them. They would pay careful attention with them. They would sleep near them to be able to ward them off from enemies. They would feed them. They would water them. They would try to prevent diseases. When they got diseases, they would nurse them back to health. Their life revolved around the sheep. They smelled of sheep. They talked about sheep. And they were concerned about the sheep. The idea of a pastor being a shepherd is someone who is wanting to be with the people. Standing up here is definitely a part of that and a very important part of it. The idea of a shepherd, though, is being in the lives of the people, caring for them, caring for their souls, caring for them spiritually, caring for them physically. And then the word teacher. What is a teacher? It's someone who helps break down information or a process, then instructs others in order for them to master a concept. So not only is this person a shepherd, teacher, this pastor, is he there to be able to give care for the person, but he's wanting to teach them. He's wanting them to grow. He's wanting them to master these concepts. Put them together, and it describes a man who lovingly cares for and teaches a local flock as under the shepherd of the great shepherd, as an under-shepherd of the great shepherd. What is he teaching? He's teaching the truth of God's word. He's teaching them about Christ, teaching them sound doctrine in order to be able to allow that to impact their lives. This is what gets me excited. There's nothing that energizes me more, and those of you who have been able to experience this at certain levels, is to be able to teach, to minister, to help others in the body of Christ. Though it may wear me out physically, mentally, spiritually, and emotionally, I'm on hyperdrive for a while. And I've grown in my compassion. When you go to meet with people, I've seen the Lord do these things in my life to help me grow. Men have come alongside to help me. My tendency was to go in and to be able to fix everything, have all the right answers at first. But I've learned that listening, caring, praying with them is an important aspect of that. So whether it's visiting people in the hospital, meeting people for coffee, or praying with someone in the foyer, it is truly a blessing to be used, to be able to help point people to our great Comforter. But you think about this task, of a shepherd, of a pastor, in the context of a local church, it's an impossible thing to be able to do on your own, or even with a couple of people. I mean, think about those of you who have families, that you're trying to shepherd your own family. You're trying to make sure that you care for and you teach the handful of people in your household. It's an exhausting task. Now pull that back to be exponential for others. That's the beautiful thing about the way the church has been designed and the way that the Lord has given us instruction to see the church designed, that Paul makes it clear that the role of the pastor is to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry, verse 12. That the shepherd is not there to just do all of the work, and the shepherd, though he will, and he will set the pace because he loves doing it, but he's there to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. One of the things that is truly amazing when you stop and think about it is that each and every believer has been gifted to fulfill a role as a part of the body. Each and every one of you, if you are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, has been gifted to fulfill a role here at WBC. And as all of those roles come together, one not being more important than the other, it operates and it moves and you see how it functions completely. Just like the members of your own body, when they're all working well, you can get things get done. And if something's missing, if something's off, it can get done, but it's not nearly as well. How have you been gifted? Are you using your gifts to help the body of Christ? The reality is each member of the local body is important. and they are needed in order to make Christ known and to build one another up. We'll get to that here in a minute. But the reality is that the giftedness, though we are all gifted, we're not able to perform those gifts, those tasks that are related to those gifts perfectly right away. It takes time to grow. You need to be encouraged. I think back to the last 15 years or even back to high school 20 years ago, thinking through all of the little things that the Lord had done in my life to be able to see me grow and to be able to develop a giftedness that He has given me. Whether it's teachers making comments about how I need to be teaching. Or when I get to the right state and I get a part of the Campus Crusade ministry, friends of mine who were there before me asked me to be a leader of that ministry. Probably was not ready, but it was part of the growing process. And the long list of pastors and other men in the church who have taken me under their wing to be able to show, demonstrate, and teach me ministry skills. This is how the church grows its leaders. The body is to develop the gifts and the members and perform the task of the church, to perform the positions of the church. You see, the pastors that I was meeting with weren't doing anything special. They were equipping the church for the work of the ministry. Or I'll use another term, which is the same thing, discipleship. Yes, discipleship. The goal of discipleship is to see the church built up. Oftentimes, we think of discipleship and we think of just meeting with people and discussing different truth and to do the teaching part of it, though that's important. The goal of the discipleship is to be able to go to the next level and to see them take over ministry, to see them then go and build into the lives of others. To be better equipped for good works. We've been talking a lot about those good works here lately. And letting our light shine. Well, how do we do that? There's a process to be able to help build into the lives of people. And I'm thankful for ministries that we have that do that. We have Sunday school. We have people meeting together. We have community groups meeting in homes. We have people who are ministry leaders who are constantly looking out for people to bring in and to train them. We need to constantly be remembering that to get the task done is not the only goal. The goal is to be able to disciple those around us. When we see that discipleship process happen, it's exciting. It's a joy-producing, worshipful celebration of what the Lord is doing. You don't have to spend too much time around me to realize that disciple-making is one of the passions that I love. I thoroughly enjoy sitting and talking to people and getting to know them, enjoying the conversation. But as a part of it, I love to be able to see, even oftentimes when they don't see it, a giftedness that the Lord has given them. To be able to point that out to them and help them through the process to be able to use that giftedness so they can be able to receive the joy of being able to be used by Christ. It's truly a blessing that all of us as a body should be able to be partaking in as we have these different levels. So what does it take to equip? Let's think about that just a little bit more. What does that look like? I break equipping or disciple making down into three different processes. Or three different areas. These aren't step by step. These aren't you have to accomplish one and then you move to the next one. They're all three ongoing. The first one is teaching. Many times in churches around the country and around the world, they get people working before they're taught. They need to know sound doctrine. They need to be able to hear false teaching and be able to be able to speak to that and to dispel that when they're talking with people. They need to be able to give biblical advice when people are struggling and not knowing what to do. We need to preach Christ and the doctrines of Scripture. To be able to have a foundation, specifically here at WBC, to be able to understand our ministry process or our philosophy of ministry. And that's an ongoing process of continuing to learn, continuing to know what is going on. It's a valuable step that we must not miss. And I'm thankful that we're in a church that does this well. The teaching of God's Word is as of prominence here. We are known as a teaching church in the community. We are known as a church that is going to be able to that we can come to, that people can come to in order to get biblical answers and to be able to know how to do things and do things well. But it must not stop there. Understanding doctrine, understanding the truth of the Scripture is vitally important. But the next part of that is training. The second aspect of the equipping process is training the person to actually do the ministry that you are calling them to do. So what's the difference between teaching and training? I see this all the time in my job. I have the privilege of being a teacher, but I'm a teacher in the career tech world, in the JVS world. And so I have many students that come to me thinking that all they're going to do is be trained to accomplish a specific task. But they don't realize that there's a base knowledge that's needed there first in order to appreciate that task, in order to do it well, in order to do it on your own. And so we live within this tension in the career tech world of teaching information, teaching a concept, and then taking that concept and applying it directly to a specific task. Well, that's the same thing here. We need to teach sound doctrine. We need to teach the Scriptures, and then we need to take the next step and be able to train people to use that knowledge of Scripture in a way to be able to minister to other people. Whether that's in the context of a ministry or whether that's just in the context of personal discipleship and conversation. We need to be diligent in continuing our teaching culture, but we also need to improve in our training culture. The third thing that we need to be able to do is resource. The third thing that an equipper, a pastor, a teacher, a shepherd does is resource. You can have all the teaching in the world, all the training in the world, but if you don't have the resources to do the things that you are supposed to do, that you are called to do within that church, you're not going to be able to do it very well. Ministry takes time, curriculum, tools, equipment, continued training, people, support, encouragement. And the shepherd is to provide that and equip others to help provide that as well. Nothing will burn someone out faster in ministry and doing the work that they are gifted to do than doing it without having the proper resourcing. Equipping has in three aspects in order to do it fully: training, teaching, and resourcing. So what's the goal of this work? It says it as we continue on into the passage here. The goal of this work is to be built up until spiritual maturity is reached. You need to be built up in unity. What does it mean to be built up? What does it mean to have it there? This word built up has a construction tone to it. When's the last time you did a construction project? All right, you went out and you had to accomplish something, tearing down a wall or building something. Did you plan ahead of time? And for those of you who didn't or didn't have a strategy, how did it go? Depending on your skill level, it probably went pretty well and you were able to get it up and complete the project. But the process, that was probably a nightmare and not efficient. When we go into a construction project, when we're looking to build up the body, we need to be able to be strategic. It's not something that just naturally happens as we're going along. And what are we being built up to? Look at the second half of that sentence that we don't have time for today. To be able to be strong when trials come and when different things, we're not tossed around by the wind. To be able to love one another, to speak the truth in love. To be able to function together as one body. It's hard to do when you got many members with many different thoughts. But as we're speaking the truth in love to each other and as we're keeping our focus on Christ and He is the one that's unifying all of us, we're all able to use our gifts in order to build up the body of Christ. And this is a never-ending process. You think, yeah, you work with a body of believers and then eventually they'll all reach maturity. But if we're doing this correctly, if we're taking our mission to be able to go and to preach the gospel to others, we're constantly going to be having new people added to the church. And so as we see others being built up and growing into maturity, we'll have others coming in who are not as mature, who are new believers, who need to be taught all of the same things that we just taught the other person. And so we have this constant cycle of being able to go invest in the lives of people, bringing them in, and seeing them being built up into the life of them. What is it that the Lord has called me to do? I am called to invest in the people of the local body. And I love the possibility to be able to think through a plan, a strategy of the local church to continue to reach the people of this community and then also build into the lives of those who are already here. The question is, I think this is an important question, are we at WBC ready for this being built up? And I'm not saying that because I have grand ideas. I'm not saying that because there's going to be wide sweeping changes and all of this. I'm a faithful servant and I will faithfully serve as we have. But the reality is, as people get brought into the church, things are going to change. I mean, just think about it from a practical standpoint. They may sit in your seat because they don't know that's your seat. They may come in and have different ideas on the way that we should do things. And we've done them that way for 30 years. Why change now? Or maybe they come in and they have a giftedness and you see it going, or you see that giftedness in there. And so it may take you stepping away from a ministry to allow them to step in and take it to the next level. It takes the ability to be able to think from a broader perspective. It may require you moving from a doer to a leader, or a leader to a trainer, or change ministries altogether. It may take some adjustment in the leadership structure in order to be able to meet the needs of all those people coming in. Are we ready for that? Many of you have attended this church for many years and have gotten very comfortable in the routine of what is happening, myself included. But as we go out to be able to minister and people come into our congregation and get added to our number, that's going to disrupt that comfort routine. And are you ready to not only just do it, but to rejoice in that? And I am confident that in many of those contexts and many people, that is an answer is a resounding yes. But there may be some areas that we need to look at. And I'm looking forward to being able to identify those areas and be able to do some shepherding in order to see those built up, to be able to see how we can change to allow people to use their giftedness for the glory and honor of Christ. Now, there's a 20-minute summary of my heart as a pastor and what I see and get excited for Wheelersburg Baptist Church. Let's take a moment and just think through where we are as a church. Because this phrase keeps coming into my head, and this quote keeps coming into my head, committed to knowing Christ and making Christ known. Have you heard that before? It's written on the front of your bulletins every week. We hear it and we say it all the time. But let's think about this a little bit. In a corporate sense, that's our vision. We have a mission. It's about a paragraph long statement about the mission of the church, but the vision is to committed to knowing Christ and making Christ known. And I'm not going to make this the state of the church address. Pastor will do that here in about a month, and I love that message. But I want to think through and evaluate, where are we? How are we doing on that vision of being committed to knowing Christ and making Christ known? I asked Pastor if that came from one particular verse, and he said no. So I just did some general looking through Scripture and a couple verses that came to mind right away. First one is Philippians 3, 10 through 11. Paul says this, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of His resurrection and participation in His suffering, becoming like Him to death, and so somehow attaining the resurrection from the dead. He said he wanted to know Christ. It's a pretty powerful statement because right before that section there, Paul gives a list of his credentials, and it's a pretty impressive resume. He gives the resume of the fact that he knew the Scriptures inside and out. When it comes to the law, considered a Pharisee. When it came to scriptures, he was in a class of his own, a Hebrew of Hebrews. So what does he mean? He wants to know Christ. And this verse and this word know here is an important one. It's not just a general knowledge of the concept, but it's more of an intimate experiential knowledge, the type of knowledge that only comes through a personal relationship with someone. We want to know the Savior in that personal sense where we walk with Him daily. And we have grown in our ability to do this. And why do we want to do it? John 17:3, I think it's an important verse here. Jesus said this sentence, "Now this is eternal life, that you may, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Again, it's not just a know about. It's a know as if I'm walking with Him. Some of you know what we're talking about. When you experience trials in life and you don't know where to go, and you feel that comfort of walking with the Lord, it can be experienced on a regular basis. And that's what we're committed to. It takes knowing Him, yes, from an intellectual standpoint, but then also transferring that to experiencing the grace of Christ and experiencing the grace that He has given us to be able to see that played out in life. We have been blessed to have a pastor for over 30 years who has preached the word faithfully. I hope you don't take Pastor Brad for granted. I talk to people regularly who, when they leave this area and they get called away for a job or whatever it may be, they always say the same thing. "We found a church, we love it. The preaching isn't Pastor Brad, though." We have a pastor here in Wheelersburg, Ohio, at this small church, who is in demand nationally and internationally. We know the scriptures. We have a maturity. We have an ability to be able to understand and flip through scriptures and to go to passages and to be able to know what they mean, to be able to explain them. And we have grown in our ability to be able to experience that knowledge as a church. I think community groups has helped with that. I think other ministries that we have done has helped with that, that we, as a body of believers, as we interact and fellowship with one another, we experience Christ in a whole new way. And we don't just know about Him, but we have that personal relationship with Him. The second part of that saying there, committed to knowing Christ. I pray that we continue to do that and making Christ known. The natural place to go for this is Matthew 28:19-20. It says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." This is the Great Commission, a passage that's very familiar to all of us. It's a great passage that reminds us as you go, as you go throughout your normal day, as you go to another place in the world, as you go to another place in this country, our focus, our main priority, the thing that we should be doing is to be able to make disciples. I appreciate that reminder there that we're not just after converts. We want to see people, yes, come to know Christ, but we want to see them grow into full maturity. And teaching them to obey. You see that teaching and training part. We're teaching them the truth of what to do, but then showing them how to obey. And we've done this very well. Later on, right after Jesus was ascending, He said to be my witnesses in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The immediate community around you, the region, and then beyond. So let's look at how we're doing at those areas, our immediate area. But first, let's start off with the area around us. I love our commitment to international missions. You're going to vote on a budget this evening that has over 20% of the budget committed to international missions and parachurch organizations around the country. In a world, in a culture within the United States where missions is being downgraded, people are cutting them out of the budgets, we have remained faithful. And we're not just supporting missionaries, but we're sending our people. Last year we sent Jade to the Dominican Republic. Aaron has been serving faithfully in Brazil for years. Bob has spent a lifetime in international ministry. Kristen went to, spent time in Asia. Gary and Nancy in Eastern Europe. Pastor travels overseas once or twice a year in training. Fox has taken several trips. Tapan and Sandy continue to minister in India. And I'm sure I'm forgetting some. We are not just sending money, we're sending our people. And even as our numbers have come down a little bit, we've still been able to bring on the Bells, who this past year have made it to South Africa, and the O'Briens, who are heading to Norway. And it was a great blessing to be there for the commissioning service of Nahum and Aaron yesterday. And they're making final preparations and hoping to be there soon. We are doing a great job, and we could do better in all of these at international missions. Now let's think locally. How are we doing when we minister locally? I love hearing the individual stories that each of you have about how you are sharing the gospel and ministering to your coworkers, neighbors, and family. Our people are sharing the gospel with people. And work and good things are happening from that. Keep up the good work. But I agree with Pastor's comments last week that we have to think about a new opportunity to reach the community around us. He mentioned the concept that there's no more low-hanging fruit anymore in our culture. We need to be intentional in thinking about a strategic way to reach our community and to reach them with what they need. They're not going to fall for the gimmicks anymore. We need to love them. We need to bring truth to them. We need to bring biblical answers to them, something of substance to hold on to. You know, yesterday at the O'Brien's commissioning service, one of the speakers there who spent time in England ministering as a missionary, a very difficult place, Western Europe's a dark place in general, made this comment, and I loved it. How do you go about sharing the gospel with people who don't want to hear it? And he made this comment, love them. And they will see Christ. Love them. And I would add to that, when they see Christ, that gives you the opportunity to share with them about Christ. This is an area where we need to grow. And I'm not completely sure what that looks like yet, but I have been thinking a lot about it. And I look forward to being able to work with you to see where can we go to be able to reach this community around us, Wheelersburg and the surrounding communities. And I'm also looking forward to how the Lord will use the people at WBC to advance His kingdom for His praise, honor, and glory. So there it is, a glimpse into the heart and thoughts for the church that I love. I'm excited about the possibility to continue to grow in my role as a shepherd and a disciple here at WBC. I'm excited to think about developing ministries for outreach and organizing our church for discipleship. But mostly, I'm honored and excited about the possibility of being known as your pastor. I love serving here for 9 years, mainly focusing on youth ministries. And in many ways, in the past 3 years, that mindset of a shepherd has never left. So let's get some application. I feel like this is an awkward message because what does it mean for you? What can you grab a hold of to be able to take with you? I got 4 things written down here quickly. First of all, pray. I want you to pray. I want you to pray specifically for the vote next week. I don't want to go into it. What I don't want is for people to be able to go into it thinking because it's convenient and it's easy. Truly search the Lord and see what He has for this position as an associate pastor here at Wheelersburg Baptist Church. And am I the man for that job? Number 2, how has the Lord gifted you? Now, don't spend too much time focusing on that question. What often happens is people will focus on that so long that they spend a lifetime not doing anything because they're still trying to figure out their giftedness. What I would say to you is, how has the Lord gifted you? Talk to others and get busy. He'll show you. And are you using that here at WBC? One thing that is amazing to me is the Lord will never gift you to do something that is not needed here at WBC. He marries the giftedness and the needs perfectly. So think around, look, talk to people. And what do you need to do to develop that gift? I tell people all the time, don't wait for someone to come to you to ask for discipleship. Go to them and ask them to disciple you. And allow them to say, hey, train me in this. Teach me about this. Be proactive in that. Thirdly, how can we help reach this community for Christ? I'd love to hear your ideas. I'd love to hear what you're thinking of what we can do to show the love of Christ and then share the truth of Christ with them. And then lastly, renew your commitment to know Christ and to make Christ known. Let's pray. Father, you're an amazing God, and you have blessed us with the body of Christ. The local church is, I said it in the message, is an amazing thing when we think about it, that a group of broken vessels and sinners can come together and to be able to be used by you for the advancement of your kingdom, your eternal kingdom. And Lord, we know that that's only true because of the work of your Son. We know that that's only true when we stay focused on the fact that it's all for your glory and your honor. And Lord, help us to be able to use the gifts that you give us to be able to see Wheelersburg Baptist built up, that we may be more mature, that we may see people added to our number, and that we would see people in Wheelersburg and the surrounding communities come to know you as Savior, so that we have the opportunity to disciple and train the next group of new believers. Lord, help us to be thoughtful and wise in the way that we reach our community. Help us to be intentional about going after those who are lost and sharing the gospel with them. Lord, help us as we go into the vote tonight and then the vote next week to be able to think wisely, think God-honoring thoughts, and to be able to think well of how best to equip this church for the work that you have planned for us, Lord. We know it's your church, and we know that you will be the one to increase and to add to the number. We know that you are the one that does the work in the lives of those around us. Help us to be diligent and faithful in serving you. Lord, I pray for the body here that as they go out this week and they work jobs, they rub shoulders with those who are unbelievers, I pray that you'd continue to allow them to be a light in the community. I pray that they would be encouraged and burdened to be able to use the gifts that you have given them to be able to minister or to continue ministering well here at WBC. I ask this all in your precious name. Amen.